Blog Talk Radio.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Father. We come to you now to say thank you. We thank you for carrying us through the whole week, Lord Jesus. We know that you didn't have to, but you did it anyway, Lord. We thank you for protecting our family, our friends, Lord Jesus. You protect our jobs. Those that didn't have jobs, Lord Jesus, you fed them all week long also. Lord Jesus, you covered them, you clothed them. You gave them water. You gave them bread. Lord, our Father, we thank you for taking care of your house, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom is all over this realm, Lord Jesus. We know that this is a new day. This is a new start, Lord Jesus, that somebody has had a testimony. They have overcame, Lord Jesus, yesterday's trials, and they're looking for tomorrow's promise. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you have done for me in my life, Lord Jesus. I actually continue to minister into me and pour into wisdom into my life. That's something that I might say, something that I might do, will send someone to the altar saying, what must I do to be saved? Lord, our Father, we bless the callers who are online already, Lord Jesus, the callers who are planning to call in. We know, Lord Jesus, that it's by your will and your way, Lord Jesus, that who needs to be here shall be here today. Who needs to call in shall call in. Who needs to get something, they shall get it, and they shall receive it today. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Hello. My name is Timothy Hayes. I am the nephew of my great auntie and uncle, Billy and Albert Burns. I am hosted live from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not sure. This is my first time hosting, so you guys have to bear with me today. I have to figure out how to get the call-ins and such, but well, let's start off with here. I have a testimony. This is testimony hour, and I will share my testimony to start off the show. I started last year, and I made my mind up that I wanted a 4.0. I knew I could achieve a 4.0. It has been a long time since I have achieved a 4.0, but I knew that I wanted a 4.0. So I started 2 semesters ago trying to achieve a 4.0. The first semester, I fell short. I had 2.7, actually. I fell short. And it wasn't because of anything but me. It was my underwork. It was my undetermination, my unbelief. But this last semester, I went for it. I knew I was going for it. I've been going for it. And I didn't get it. Better or like words. I know someone who wondered, how did a testimony when you did get the 4.0? Well, I got all A's in state. All A's minus at that. It was left with a 3.7. So I still had all A's, but I didn't have a 4.0. And the good news in that is our God sometimes gives us what we want, but he makes it so big that we can't attain it all at once just to keep us going. So I woke up this morning, they didn't know how they was going to eat. They didn't know how they were going to make it through today. They didn't know how they were going to pay their bills. Sometimes God gives you just enough so you can depend on him to get the rest. And I hope we get some callers in here, but that's my testimony I want to start the show off with today. I want to always keep Aunt Billy and Uncle Al in our prayers as they're on the highways and byways traveling. If there are any other prayer requests, you can Facebook me, Minister Timothy Hayes, or tweet me at KCPURPLEBOI on Twitter. I'm trying to figure out, we're going to work it out here. We're going to get it all together and get this perfect. But thank you. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take 1 second to figure out how to get the calls in. I'm going to turn on Standing in the Need of Prayer, one of my favorite songs. And before we get started here, we're going to play one more selection, and then we will be back into the show. Hopefully we get some callers in.
Thank you.
me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I don't know who needed it today. If no one needed it, I needed it. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. Here today, some things going on in my life since I have last been on the show. As I stated, I did finish another semester. I am walking into my junior year at American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee. I am originally from Kansas City, Missouri. I do plan to move my ministry back there shortly after I go to Atlanta and complete my master's. A little more information. I have brothers and sisters. I give a shout out to my mother. I don't know if she tuned in or not this morning. Gina Taylor, my grandmother Louise Lee, my father Timothy Hayes. I don't know if they made it on this morning yet or not. I am still youth pastor, Kane Avenue Missionary Baptist Church here locally in Nashville. And things are going well over there. God is truly in the blessing business, I tell you. We do have a couple upcoming events here. If you will be in the Chattanooga area this Sunday, a great friend of mine by the name of Minister Roland Caldwell will be preaching in the Chattanooga area. If you look on my Facebook page, I can get you the exact address. I can get you the exact address. Well, I am an old school, and I have a little Baptist in me, a little Pentecostal, a little AME. But one thing that we all do is go to the Word of God. So I would like to bring a text in, Matthew, the fourth chapter, starting with the 18th verse, and it said, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brothers, James and John, his brother, and he sit with their fathers, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in all their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all the manner of sicknesses and all the manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which lunatics, and those who had a posse, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, then, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from the Jordan. I dare you to challenge someone in your life to put down their nets and become a fisher of men. This is a great piece of the text, and what I did, I just opened my Bible up, and I just went for it. I said, God, I need a scripture. And all I can see in my red print was, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. I said, that's it. I don't know who it is out there today, but someone needs that. Someone knew that they need to stop depending on their self-will, but they need to follow God. The old story goes, you give a man a fish, he eats for one day, but if you teach a man a fish, he eats forever. Well, if you let a man drop his net in fish, he only eats for a little while, even if he knows how to fish. But if he gets up and fish with other men, he can build a team that can fish forever. And we have to get that mind frame, kingdom building, that we are not only here for ourselves. We have others that need us, and that access to Christ is attached to our life. But until we open up and accept our status in Christ, that we have overcame some trials and tribulations, then there's someone in your life who would never, ever get to meet Jesus. And I know one of my biggest things growing up in the ministry, I should say, is that I wish I would have accepted my calling earlier, because there's some friends that I wish I could have said they're maybe behind bars, maybe they are in graveyards. Or maybe that's just so far off in life that they have lost, and they have no sense of hope or purpose yet. But they have overcame. I was one of those hopeless and senseless persons before in my life. So I know
I know how it feels. We're still trying to get connected here so we can get the calls in. Stick with us. Blog Talk Radio. They have overcame, hosted by Minister Timothy Hayes this day in the place of my auntie, the great Minister Billy Burns. We have to remain focused in our ministry. We always have to remain. The devil will try to throw obstacles in our life and in our way to block us from what God really wants us to see. And we have to remain focused. That's another thing I want to talk about is focus. And when you're focusing on God, you realize the pain you're going through is all worth it. But when you're focusing on something else, you complain about every nick and that on the way. Jesus told the man, get up and go follow me. He didn't say, bring your nets. He didn't say, go tell your family. He didn't say, go tell mom and dad goodbye or go get your money at your house. He said, get up and follow me. That's saying right there simply that we have to have faith that if we stay focused on Jesus and walk with Jesus, that every other thing that we're complaining about and we nag about and we're lacking will come. Peter, Simon, John, James, they knew if they just got up and followed this man who said he was Jesus, that everything they needed will be taken care of. We have had that same type of faith, and when we're focused on Jesus, our faith is strong enough to endure those tests and those trials. And our faith grows to another level. Just like in the text, when they got up and followed Jesus, eventually he took them back to the place where he brought them from and said, drop your nets. But first, he had to make sure that they were willing to follow. So it's some things that you're asking God for. He has them for you. But first, he's making sure that you're focused on him so that you can follow him. And we have to remember to stay focused on Jesus, stay faithful to Jesus. Because when we're not faithful and focused on Jesus, we complain about all the problems that we have. We complain about everything that we go through. Everything affects us. Everything hurts us. Everything distracts us. Everything. And so we have to remain focused. We have to remain faithful. We have to remember that we have to look towards the future. And when we look towards the future, we will see that our trials create testimonies. Our hard times create testimonies. Our difficult and depressed moments really is doing nothing but pressing us and pushing us into what God only wants us to do. He has to sometimes break you just to make you. Because if you just throw fresh cement on cracked C-Rock, before you break it down to the ground, it's not going to do nothing but crack again eventually. But if you break it and you press it, and you grind and you dig it up and you remove that hole first, we all see the street crew workers work. They have to take the bad off before they can put the good on. It was a bumpy ride, but once they take the bad off, it's still a little ragged. It's not as bumpy, doesn't have any potholes, but it's still a ragged rock. But once they go with that smooth coat of black, fresh pavement, it's one of the smoothest rides of your life, and that's how walking with Jesus is. It starts off, you have to pump potholes in your life. You have some bumps in your life. You have some downfalls. You have some hard times. And then guess what happens? God comes in. He starts breaking up the rocks. He starts breaking up the ground. And we don't like it. What we complain about is what God is revealing to our spiritual side. Our flesh complains about it. So those things that you know, those sins that you know you should stop, those things that you know you should stop doing that you have been complaining about, they just irritate you. That is nothing more than God revealing to the spiritual side of you, saying that these are things you have to remove out of your life. I'm breaking up the ground. I'm breaking up the ground. And guess what happens? When we drive on that raggedy road, and we just washed our car, we get mad every time. When we drive on that raggedy road, we got nice tires, we get mad every time because we have put our faith and our focus on the wrong thing. We start worrying about this road, getting us to where we need to go. We're worried about
the bumps and the bruises to our car on the way to the road. I know that was good. We have to remember to remain on the future. We have to remember that we're going to get to that smooth pavement eventually. When you get to that smooth pavement, it's a quiet ride. It's a smooth ride. It's a peaceful ride. There's no bumps. There's no bruises. Everywhere you go, it's smooth. The only ride is smooth because God has broken up that ground, dug it out, removed it, allowed you to ride on the old ground, the foundation, the rugged, that was still just not perfect, just to get you to the smooth ground again, just to elevate you. Because when you come off the rugged into the smooth pavement, it's a lip, and it says a small hump, and it's a bump. If you ever see the sign, they have a bump sign. It's a small lip. And as soon as you get over that lip, oh, they have overcame. I'm just trying to tell somebody, they keep on riding down that road. It's going to get smooth. You have to come over the lip. You have to overcome some things. You have to overcome life. Don't ever think that life is bigger than God. No problem that you have is bigger than the God you have. So there should be no worries. It's a rap song out right now. It said, look me in my face. I ain't got no worries. Now, Lil Wayne was talking about he didn't have no worries because he was dependent on drugs, alcohol, money, fame, and power. But I would suggest look me in my face because I don't have no worries because I have Jesus Christ. And that's all we need. That's all we need. I'd rather have Jesus with me the whole world. Jesus will hold us. Jesus will guide us. Jesus will lead us. We still don't have the call-in number here. I hope we still have some callers out there. I'm not sure. If we have any callers trying to call in, share their testimony. If you do have internet, Facebook.com, there is a group that is called They Overcame. If you post in there, I can definitely relay your message to our listeners that are listening in, and I can definitely get it on the air for you. God bless you. God bless you. Any testimonies, I would like to share one of my favorite poems. And one thing about me, a lot of people don't know, I love poetry. And this is one of my favorite poems by the great Langston Hughes. And it's one that everyone should know. And it's called Mother to Son. Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had its tacks in it and its splinters. And boards tore up in places with no carpet on the floor. Bare. But all the time, I've been climbing on and reaching landings. And sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't turn your back. Don't let you set down on those steps. Because you find it kind of hard. Don't you fall down. For I see it's going on, honey. I still climbing. In life for me, ain't been no crystal stair. I remember hearing that poem, about the fourth or fifth grade. And I can think, and I can see my mother, hardworking mother, single parent, four children, full-time student, full-time church fellowshipper, worshiper, full-time church member, worker, full-time employee. And I can see my mom walking up those stairs to her room every night. But I've never seen her sit down on those stairs. Those old wooded, ragged stairs in her house, she never sit down on them. She always kept climbing. She got her RN, then she got her MSN, then she attacked her doctorate degree. Because life ain't been no crystal stair. And life is not going to be a crystal stair. We have to continue to keep climbing. We have to continue to go up. Everything that the illustration that I've tried to use, the text that Jesus put in our face this morning, it's all talking about going up. I don't know why this poem fell on my heart. I haven't read it in years. But it's all discussing, simply taking it to another level, taking it to a higher power, depending on a higher power and trusting inside that higher power. So I believe my Aunt Billy is online. I want to give her a few moments to say something
and I see if I can get connected so I can hear everyone. We can have a better conversation. We can talk to each other. I love talking. I am a preacher, so I can do this all day and all night. I love talking about my God, but I would love to hear some testimonies because the courage needs to be encouraged at times also. So what we would do, I know it's untraditional. I don't know if you guys do it like this. This is how I love to interact music. I love to interact poems. I love to try different things to reach people of God. And so I will go to one of my another favorite songs as we try to log in and connect with the world all over. The call-in number is, for those that are on, they have the call-in number. This is a call-in show. So I'm going to post on my Facebook and Twitter the call-in number, see if we can get some calls in right now. One more, our last song for the day. It's by Tamela Mann. It's called Take Me to the King.
Yeah. my temper, man. We have live. The great, my auntie, Reverend Billy Burns.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I'm good. I'm sorry, listeners, that we've had a little problem this morning, and we having a little technical difficulty, but I am so grateful for my nephew standing in for us. We were supposed to be on the road, but we have a testimony that we want to give. Also, I tried to sleep in a little this morning, but I got the call from my husband that nothing was going on. So I just want to, you know, again, thank my nephew so much for standing in for us, and he is doing a great job. He is an awesome young man, and if you're Facebook friends with me, you saw I had posted that he has an awesome testimony, and I want you to give that testimony after we get through. Just, we have a caller on, and I am at the switchboard, so I can see the callers, but he can't. We have a brother, Lewis, that is one of our faithful callers, and I'm sure that he always has something to say for the Lord. But anyway, we were planning on going to Montgomery, Alabama, to Bishop Leo Lewis's convention, and as it turned out, our car was in an accident Saturday night. Well, we thought that we would still be able to go, that we would be able to get a rental, but it didn't work out that way so that we could get a rental. But the testimony is that this is the third accident. We haven't had an accident, but excuse me, trying to help our sons out. They have had a few mishaps. so we find ourselves with one car again, but God is so good and God is so faithful. We didn't know if the insurance would cover the car or not. And once we found out that the insurance would cover the car, we didn't know if they were going to total the car or not, because something with the suspension was messed up. But praise God, they are able to fix the problem. And so God is just faithful. We you know, a few months ago, Christopher had an accident and totaled our car prior to this, and everything worked out. Just God is, he's just awesome. He's faithful. Even when we don't do things that we're supposed to do, God is still there for us, and he is always looking out for us if we believe him, if we trust him. So we trust God in every situation. And, you know, Tim, as you're finding out, every situation makes you know him a little better. Don't you think so? Every test that you go through, you're able to look back and say, well, yes, God did this for me. So if he did that for me, then he'll do this for me. And always believe him. Always believe him. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at, we haven't been in fear, because we definitely need two cars here in North Carolina. We don't have a transit authority like we have. We're from Chicago. You're from Kansas City. And so we have like 24-hour bus service in our cities, but not so here. There's a time limit. So we just thank God for his faithfulness. We thank God for all that he does for us, and us. Especially we thank God for our nephew, Reverend Timothy Hayes. He is an awesome young man, and I am just so proud of you, son. I am so proud of the things that you're doing. I did hear your testimony about getting all A's. Now, explain this to me. How do you get all A's, but you still, what was your goal?
My goal was to get a 4.0, which is all A's.
Okay.
A 4.0 is all A's. And
okay.
The way our grading system is set up where if you get an A minus, it doesn't equal to a 4.0 on the grade scale. So I had 4 A minuses, which left me with a 3.7 rather than a 4.0.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What was that?
Go on.
And I was just going to say, that's just God's way of telling me, you know, you're not there yet. You know, you still have some more to do. You can do better. You can do better. And I accept. And one thing that we have to do, we have to learn to accept, you know, our challenges. We have to learn to accept when God is testing us. The devil is not doing everything in our life. Sometimes that is God, because God has power of the devil also. So we have to learn to accept those challenges and those trials when they come, how they come. Yes, ma'am. That's just one thing that I believe that that was my lesson inside getting into A minuses besides the A.
Amen. But I want you to, and I'm not hosting, you're hosting, but if you would, I would love for you to give your testimony again. I know that it will inspire someone and, of course, give God the glory because he has done a great, great thing in your life. And young people need to hear this testimony. It's the man of God hasn't always been a man of God. Of course, none of us have. We don't come here saved, and we're on a trail of salvation until our life is over. We never really reach perfection here in this earth. We can come close to it, you know. We can do some things, but then even when we come close to it, you know, the Bible says for us to not think of ourselves more highly than we are. So if you choose to, Brother Tim, you may give your testimony again. I love hearing it.
All right, no problem at all. Always. I went through all that, and every time I'm asked to share, I want to share because it is a true celebration that Christ is still alive and living in this world. Well, let's see what I'm going to start off at. I'm going to give the short version. Let's go back. Let's go back on to the 7th grade. Kicked out of school. Was out of school for about 45 to 60 days, almost 2 months. I missed 2 months of school in the middle of the semester. I don't know. I was lost. I was lost. I was lost in myself. I was lost in the world. I was lost in God. I was lost. And I usually can't think of the pastor's name and I want to tell my testimony, but I tell you about this guy. He puts it in my heart. Robbie Warren out of Milwaukee. He came to Great Pentecostal Temple, which is one of my home churches in Kansas City, Bishop Donaldson. And he came, Robbie Warren. He came. It was youth revival. Around this, a little early in the year, I should say, he came and we had a youth revival. I don't remember the exact sermon, but I remember about 50 of us youth kids were sitting on the first and second row when he started preaching. And by the time he ended preaching, it was about 50 or 40 of us on the floor speaking in tongues filled with the Holy Ghost. I had a great-grandmother. God bless her soul. My grandmother, Emma Burns. Around the same time, always enforced in my life that there was something different about me. always. She was there that Sunday. That Sunday, it was not a Sunday. It was like a Friday night. She was there that Sunday. I was still with the Holy Ghost right behind me. She was there. She always was there with my walk as a child with Jesus. And so I'm in the seventh grade. I'm kicked out of school. I was at a charter school when I got kicked out. My record was so bad at the charter school, my behavior report, not my grades, never had a problem with grades, always behavior. My behavior report was so bad in the seventh grade that I was not allowed in the public school system. The worst of the worst schools in the city didn't even want me. So, by the grace of God, I overcame that also. God makes a way, you know. It's not always about what you know. Sometimes it's about who you know. As long as you know King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. But God made a way. I got enrolled to school. I was back to school. But while I was at home during the day, while my mom was at work, my brothers and sisters were at school, I was talking to my God. I was spending time with my God. I would never forget a day in my life. My first sermon ever written was in the seventh grade. It was out of the text, Matthew 7, and the title of it was What Defiles a Man? Because the lady who kicked me out of her school said I was defiled. And I had to go get the biblical text. When I ran to the Bible, I always ran to Timothy. Because my name is Timothy. So anytime I wanted to read the Bible, I read to Timothy. Now, if anyone knows anything about the Bible, you know that Timothy is the pastoral text. I did not know that then. But God always had a purpose in my life. But I read to Timothy, you know, and I read my first sermon out of Matthew, What Defiles a Man, Matthew 7, and it's not what goes into the Bible, it's what's come out of the body, because what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. That's the text. And I knew, as I read my sermon, I knew I was different. I knew that I was going through, but God was going to bring me through. I knew. I had faith. I had trust. So I continued to live on. I continued to live the average teen life. I didn't get better. Actually, I got worse. I didn't, you know, start making wise decisions. Even though that I had been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been born again, I just knew Jesus, but I wasn't using Jesus. And some of us have Jesus right with us, but we're scared to use him. So we abuse him. But I was living. I get to middle school. I complete middle school, and by the grace of God, I have to give her a shout out, Patricia Howard, Mrs. Howard. In the seventh grade, the eighth grade, we were in middle school. We had five teachers on our team. We switched classes. We went to all five teachers every day. I had one teacher in middle school, Miss Howard, and she made all the teachers bring my words to her class. She put me with a guy named Mr. Wright, and he was the technical theater of the school. And that was one of my mentors. And he allowed me to learn about the theater and the sound, which is a part of my story. I'm going to get there. It's just trying to tie it all together. And so Miss Howard blessed my soul. She kept me close. She never let me go. And to this day, I thank her so much. I love her so. She put me with Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright taught me how to run sound and lights and theme in the studio. We had a broadcasting studio, and we ran news, and we did filming, and he allowed me to be myself for the first time. I was myself because I stood out. Everyone else went to class. I stayed in one class. Everyone else did regular work. I was running around the school with keys to every room, unlocking doors, putting up microphones, setting up stands, and doing things as such. And it might not seem normal to other kids, but to me, I'm standing out because I have a mic in my hand and I'm by myself. I continue to live life. I get to high school. Westport Middle had a high school building that you went to when you got to high school, of course, you know. I didn't want to go there. I had my mind made up. I was different. I've been standing all this time, so I want to continue to stand there. I wanted to go to DeSalle, School of the Performing Arts, which is it was one of the two schools that did not wear uniforms.
in, it was the only school that you had to audition to get into. I knew I could make it. I couldn't sing. I couldn't dance. I could do a little bit of writing, but I couldn't do the writing that the packet required to audition. I couldn't act. I couldn't play an instrument, but I wanted to go to Purcell. So, old Mr. Wright, all his hard work for the 7th and 8th grade, walking, running around the school, telling me to turn that spotlight on and set this mic up and, you know, pull this plug and change this fuse. It paid off because I was able to use that talent that I learned in those 2 years from middle school at Westport to get into sale through the technical theater program. I forged my mother's signature. I enrolled myself in school. And when the bus schedules came out 2 weeks before school, my mom got the note that my bus was set up to run to Purcell Academy rather than in Westport. I had no clothes. Because Purcell wore regular clothes and Westport wore uniforms. I had uniforms already from last year, but I was going to a school that did not require uniforms. But my mother, she said, obviously, you wanted it. I told you not to do it. You did it anyway. And besides being mad at the decision, she went out and she got me a few outfits. She supported the decision. Well, once I got to Purcell High School in the 9th grade, more trouble. Drugs, alcohol, girls, gangs, guns, money, greed, lust, selfishness, heartbroken, lonely, sad. I'm just trying to get some of the feelings of the trials. Test after test, life endangerment. Been shot at, been pulled over and harassed by the police, been followed by the police, being labeled more than anything as worthless, as nothing, being taken out of your comfort zone. But through it all, I was going through all those different feelings, all those different trials, all those different tests, but through it all, I tell people all the time, no matter what I did on Saturday night, ever since the 7th grade, my mother didn't have to offer. I went to church on Sunday. Ever since I was baptized, I knew that I had to go to church on Sunday because that was the only way I was going to make it when I was down and out. For real, for the first time in my life in the 7th grade, that was who I hung on to. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he's going, when he's old, he will never depart from it. I'm a testimony that that is the truth. If you train a child up the way he should never depart from. Because even when I was out there and I was in the streets and I was doing the things that the world say is social norms, but we know that it's not moral norms to our religion, God was still keeping me. And I knew it was nothing but God keeping me. I've been in several situations where nothing but God could get me out. I can recall one time having drugs in my car, a gun in my car. I was currently smoking when I got pulled over. I did not have taillights. I didn't have my seatbelt on. The officer simply pulled me out the car. He never searched my car. He told me to put my blunt out, and he gave me a second chance. He took me to jail, but he gave me a walking warrant. So which means that my car didn't get towed, the drugs never were found, the gun never was found. But and I'm not celebrating that the officer made a mistake. I'm celebrating that God did it again. God worked that thing out again. And this is in my high school years. So I'm growing up. I'm in high school. I get 17 years old. I get me a job. I got a few girls. And guess what I do? Mama, I'm leaving. I can't do it no more. I got to go. I leave home. I get my own apartment. Me and my best friend, we grab an apartment. We have a roommate. We're roommates. We're living there. Everything is just fine. But I'm more dependent on self than God at this time. I'm weakening myself. I'm slowly but surely killing myself. I continue to live that party lifestyle, live that street lifestyle. If anyone knows, it's very exhausting. It's very draining. It's very stressful at the time. The reward is
fun, but the risk is so high. And I was living it. I was living. I was trying my best. I was, you know, maintaining my status. I was that guy. And it finally hit me one day that you know, Tim, you're losing everything. And slowly but surely, as I spoke about the road earlier, God started breaking me up. He started breaking me up. He takes my apartment. He starts breaking my family up. He's causing trouble inside my family. He's just, you know, walking all around. He's breaking up my friends. Now I'm starting to lose friends to death and to prison, and things are not going right, and friends are turning on friends and becoming enemies, and now they're the people, they were trying to kill someone, now they're trying to kill each other, and life is taking its toll, and it's draining me, and I see death near. I see it. I can taste death. I know that I was on my last leg. I knew the lifestyle I was living was going to lead me to death, and death soon. So I kept pressing. I kept going towards the mark, trying to find a way out. The thing that I knew how to make money was starting to fail me. The drugs, they started to fail me. I was starting to, you know, get bad batches. I was starting to get, you know, no college. It just, everything that could have went wrong was starting to go wrong. I was falling apart. I was being broken up. I actually just this week opened up a notebook pad that I had in 2010. And I've written my second sermon in 2010, 7th grade to 2010. So in the 7th grade, I knew I was a preacher. Then it faded away, and I ran from it all the way into 2010. I'm 22 years old now, by the way. All the way to 2010. Once I reached 2010, I wrote another sermon. I've just seen it the other day. I forgot all about it, and it was called "What's Your Box Score on Life?" And I remember announcing my calling. I told my mom that was going to be my first sermon, and I ended up announcing my calling a whole another year or so later. But I told her that was going to be my first sermon because I knew it. God gave me that, and I never preached that text. I never preached that sermon. But I just found it. And before I even got any training, before I knew what I was doing, I was just doing what God told me to do and write what God wrote me to write. It sounded wonderful. So I have to finish that sermon and preach it. But long story short, 2010, once again, I realized God revealed to me, God spoke to my life, spoke to my spirit, son, this is not your mission. I'm going to kill you if you don't do my will, because there's some people that I need you to save. And I heard the voice clear as day. I ended up calling one of my older sisters, and I invited her over to my house. We were sitting there, and I preached to her, and she did nothing but cry. The first person I ever announced that I was a preacher to was my sister, and she did nothing but cry. She sat there and cried. It took me 2 more years to get my life all the way together and get myself spiritually in a place that I can get away from my endangerment and my entrapment. I ended up coming to Nashville. After that, God made a way. A lady by the name of Dr. Teresa Fry Brown, a great friend of the family, she's my mom. I announced my calling to my mom, my mother's best friend, in early January of 11. And my mom's best friend, which is a scholar and a doctor, and she's a wonderful lady, Dr. Teresa. Not Dr. Teresa, Dr. Carrie Dunson. And she said, I have a best friend who has a theology, who works at a seminary. She's the president of a seminary. I'm going to call her. Well, she called her, and she said, well, guess what? Miss Teresa is coming into town because her sister's having surgery around the same time I announced my call. So it's perfect time. And guess what? When she comes to town, she wants to meet you. It was God. It was heaven sent. Everything worked out perfect, just as God always does. He puts it together, not on our time, but on his time. We went out to lunch. The first thing she told me was, this is going to be one of the loneliest walks of your life. And I remember responding, Miss Teresa, I'm already lonely. And you know what she said? Then, baby, you were called. You were called because it's going to be one of the hardest things to do in life. And I will never forget to this day when it gets hard, when it gets
hurtful, and when God is not talking back, I remember it's going to be a long journey. But she told me she would find me a school. She sent me a text message 3 days later, and it said abcnash.edu, abcnash.edu. And I went on there. I filled out the application. I looked at the school. I couldn't see any pictures of it. I just had the website. I looked at the website, looked all around the website, read much as I can read on the school, did my research. I was always been a computer genius. So I did my research. I found as much as I could find about the school, but I couldn't find much online outside of the website. And I just knew I was going to some preacher school, so I'm expecting to come down here with a whole lot of old preachers. But I filled out application. From that day forward, I filled my application. I sent it back. I started telling people, I'm leaving. I'm going to school. I never said what I was going for, when I was going, where I was going. All I said was, I'm leaving. I'm going to school. I lived in the household with my father, and I told him every day as I left and went to work, all right, Father, I'll see you later. I got to get my money together. I got to leave. I'm going to school. I come back home. He said, your money. I got to go to school. No one believed me. No one thought that, not this kid, like, go to school, you know. They knew something was going on, but they didn't. They couldn't put their point on it. They the finger on it. They knew I was changing, but they couldn't put their finger on it because I was coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning still, but I was sober now. And this time I come in, I had a Bible in my hand. And I would get off work. I worked through Applebee's. I was a server. I would get off work, and me and my friends would get together, and we would read the Bible chapters at night for hours and just exegete the text for hours. And my life was changing. It was revolving. And I got a job in May of 2011 at Applebee's. And I worked there until August. I was the number one server out of 33 stores in 3 months, every month. My first time serving, my first serving job. And a lot of people say, why do you, you know, how are you doing so well? Well, God does everything for the reason. Half of my customers that came to sit in my section at Applebee's were clergy. God had me serving his men of God physically with food and with, you know, drinks and at their will, at their call. And they were pointing to my spirit also, but God put men of God, black and white, Mexican, Hispanic, in front of me, and I had to serve them. And like, everything happens for a reason. I got down to Nashville, and I finally got in the church, and I was announcing my calling as a preacher in the church. I really had to serve my pastor. So it makes sense. Everything happens for a reason. But where was I last? I'm in Nashville. I'm at Applebee's. So in my testimony, yeah, I'm in Applebee's. So I'm working at Applebee's. Me and my friends are studying. My family's seeing the change. I'm saying I'm going to school. No one besides my mother knows what I'm going to school for or why I'm going to school. I keep faith. I fill one application out for one college, and I was going with that. I was trusting God, and I said, God, if this is you, I know this is you're going to make a way for me to get down there. The school accepted me. I had a 1.7 community GPA graduating high school, and the school accepted me. I remember writing my letter, my essay, and my essay was titled, I Am Sold Out. My mind is made up. I went on to prepare myself to get to come to Nashville. A week before I was preparing to leave, I had to get a recommendation from a church member, and the church member told my dad, congratulations on Lil Tim being called to the ministry. My dad, in return, comes home that Wednesday night from Bible study and says, now, son, I know you've been saying you was going to school, but I didn't know you was going to seminary. And that was a week before I left, I told my father, and I simply said, I wanted to show you rather than tell you. And he fully accepted it. He never rejected it. And after that, it was a trickling effect. That next week, that last Sunday in Kansas City, I told my home church pastor that I was called to preach, which is, I have found out, which is the total backwards way. You're supposed to tell your pastor first, then tell everybody else. But, you know, I talked to God. I knew what I was doing. But I went to my pastor, and I was off to Nashville. I've been in Nashville trusting and leaning on God fully. Fully. I have not had a job, but I have not missed a meal. Low income, no income, but I have not missed anything. My God truly spoils me. He has angels around me, and they protect me. They cover me. And I just said, my God is awesome. He took trash and made it a treasure. I was more in the ground or in the jail cell than I was on my way to heaven. And God simply turned that thing around, and I overcame all my trials and my testimonies. Some people say I'm too transparent. You're too transparent, Tim. I'm a sinner that's going to sin again. Lord, forgive me. And I never tried to be perfect. I never will try to be perfect. I will always try to be godly-like. I will try to be godly-like. Because striving to be perfect is not, I don't want to say it's not reachable to man, but it is not attainable to the man's mind. They cannot understand perfect. They don't understand perfect in God's eyes. They don't understand the biblical meaning of perfect. But I want to be like God. I want to have that heart like God. Not even like Jesus Christ, because our God is bigger than Jesus Christ. He created Jesus, so he has to be bigger than Jesus. I want to be like God. And I knew that I was special since a child. I knew at 7 I was a preacher. Then I knew again in 2010 I was a preacher. I preached my first sermon December 18th, 2011. On winter break, I keep on falling. James 1:1-4. What a wonderful text! It was amazing. God has been blessing my ministry. I've been able to preach in several states up north. I have been down south in the Midwest. God has blessed my ministry. I am truly blessed to be a blessing. I am currently still enrolled in American Baptist College, and 2 more years remaining, hopefully, if everything goes according to the plan. And I'm just living for Jesus. That's all I'm doing. I'm living for Jesus, and Jesus has never failed me. He never will. And I just hope that I can encourage someone that no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad you think you are, God is still able to use you. And I have seen God use crackheads, alcoholics, prostitutes to bless my soul, to pour into my ministry, to bless my life, to encourage me. So don't never look down on someone, because you'll never know who God is using at the time. And that is my testimony. That is my testimony. That I have overcame the trials and the troubles to get to my purpose. And once I found my purpose in life, that's when I found my peace in life. That's my testimony.
Amen, amen, amen. I told you that was an awesome testimony. I'm just, every time I hear it, it just thrills my soul to know that what a God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. I'm going to, Tim is hosting, but I am the one that's in control of the switchboard. So I'm going to open up the caller, Brother Michael Lewis, because this is an awesome man of God also, and faithful, he's faithfully calling in, and faithful. Not that he calls in all the time, but he does call in, and he's faithful to us. And I just thank God for him. And Brother Tim, this is. Are you a pastor, Brother Mike? Hello.
Is he there?
Brother Michael Lewis.
I believe we met before the last
praise Lord.
Hello. There you are.
No, I'm not a pastor, but I can walk in the pastor's shoes. And when God's ready to elevate me, I have no problem with the ascension.
I know you don't, Doc. I know you don't.
It's good to hear you again, Brother Timothy.
Yes, sir. It's good to meet again. I remember you from last time, sir. How you been doing?
Had a couple of serious accidents in the family, and if you don't mind, I would love to share that testimony
yes,
with
sir.
You.
Yes, sir.
I heard you mention about your goal for that 4.0.
Yes, sir.
That's a very prestigious number to occur while in any form of schooling. In February, I lost my baby sister right before the midterms. And for those that know, me and my baby sister, we was real close. And I used to call her to come to Stockton to come hear me when I preach. And she died. And that kind of bothered me. I didn't know where my head was because her death was sudden. It wasn't something planned that we knew. It wasn't something that we knew about, any ailments, any sicknesses. My mom was diagnosed with cancer February 19th. She sent she was sent home February 19th. February 26th, my sister died. March 2nd, we eulogized her. Then when it came to my finals, my mom died May the 8th. And again, my mom's strong as an ox, and I watched this woman grow up, and it wasn't nothing could keep her down. And I knew she had this, but when my baby sister died, the fight of my mom, it left, and she told us she's tired. And I heard you about your poem, and I want to share this and go back to the story. I wrote a poem at the eulogy for my mom called A Piece of Me, and it goes, "There's a time under the sun to both live and to die. A time to live, a time to mourn. There's even a time to cry. Although I knew this day would come, I yet wanted it delayed. You made us all to agree to let the chips fall where they may. It would have been selfish of me wanting you to stay around, even after taking notice how your health was going down. I wanted what was best for you, knowing you wanted to be free. All I know is when you left, so did a piece of me. Words can't express how I felt hearing about your death. God had you in the palm of his hands even after your last breath. No one has to explain a thing how it's better on the other side. We all knew the cherry was coming, soon you would take that ride. But never in my wildest dreams I thought you would ever die. I watched you whip a lot of things, cause in you dwelt a fight. But this particular illness seemed to keep you down. Although I've seen you rise before, it yet anchored you to the ground. I often ask my Lord and Savior to help you in becoming free. The day that I heard that you were gone, so was a piece of me. You were my anchor, you were my sail, oftentimes you were my float. When the storms of life start drowning me, you then became my boat. I shared with you my misdeeds while living in Germany. Your words did comfort, ease my pain, and took away the misery. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Not having you around anymore for me, that will be hard. But no more tears, agony, and pain, the Lord has made you free. But on the day you left this earth, so did a piece of me." And that was unique in itself because what ended up happening, last semester I appeared a 4.0.
Wow.
And my goal, like yours, going into the next semester was a repeat performance. And when those two deaths happened, I was unsure in a certain number, in I think two classes I knew for certain I got A's. But those last three, they were if, because I wasn't sure did I really hear what was being taught on those days that I was going through what I was going through. But can we say, but God, my Lord, he upheld me on the day of the exams. I was totally blank. And the work that I had to do, for one, is something similar to what you was doing, Brother Tim, filming, editing, making videos. And this was my first time with a hand in it. And I did it. I did it so swell that one of the songs that I did edit is called Building More Jails. And this song was written for Sister Adrian, who is the host of the New Destiny show, for her sister who serves three lives plus 20 years. Now, I wasn't going to submit this song into what we have is a media fest where the students and a couple of people from Hollywood choose the best artwork, best music, best video, and so on and so on. And my song, Building More Jails, was number one. And at the end of the semester, I text one of the teachers and explained to him. I said, Mr. Kendrick, I knew the songs and whatnot, but I had a death in February. Then I had my mom's death in May, and I'm asking him. I say, if you don't mind, can you find it in your heart, please, and check and see if you could give me an A. Well, while I was asking him for an A, he had already posted the grade, which was an A. So I didn't need to ask, but I was unsure of myself. When that one posted, then I was like, I got two more to go. And on the day before school ended, one posted. So I had four, looking for the fifth. I took five classes, so I needed five A's. And I put it on Facebook, what I was going through, and then all of a sudden my professor said, Michael, you got five A's. So, again, God truly blessed me to get that 4.0, five A's in five classes. But next semester I'm cutting down the load. I'm on my way out the door for graduation, but it was during the death of my mom that I didn't think, I was going to be able to do this. But, I found strength in how she lived. And God has strengthened me through what I've seen my mom go through as a young mother, the struggle she had raising us oftentimes by herself, and those things, when she had sicknesses upon her, till this day she had something. They never gave it a name, but God healed her and delivered her. At 77, my mom got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I brought it out here to a church called New Beginnings, and she went down in Jesus' name. So I was assured through God, we had our talk before she died and her wishes, and man, I thank God that I was an obedient son even unto the death of my mom. And I want to thank God for Sister Adrian, because if it wasn't for me meeting her and fighting for her sister, I'll still be in drugs, probably be dead by now, but I would have stayed on drugs. It was through me advocating for her sister. It exudes a lot of my time. It helped keep me focused. It helped keep me centered. I know it's God, but God put things in our way sometimes to help us along the way, and that's one of the things he gave me. And I promised Danielle, who I'm getting ready to go see in a few minutes, I promised her until the day she died, I die, I would not quit fighting for her or when she become free. Now, one more thing, and I'm done. I was the president of the BSU, and while my sister death, something happened on campus, and I had to step down. And God told me later on to run for a position with the Associated Student Body Government, which I did, and I won. And one thing about being on the student body, we get to go to Washington, D.C. So I've been trying to call Washington, get messages inside of the White House to different individuals to speak up about Danielle, and look at God. Here it is. He's getting ready. If I keep living, if I stay alive, when we go to Washington, we're going to be in the White House, and they're hoping the day we go that the president is available. And if he is, you best believe the first person I ain't going to be proud to see him as the president to shake his hand. I'm proud to tell him about Miss Danielle Metz. That's my mission and my goal when I get there, and every other senator and whoever walking in the White House, they're going to get an earful about who Danielle Metz is. That is my testimony this morning.
Keep it alive, Dr. As the text we used this morning was, Jesus made them a fisherman of men. and what you said was,
yes,
I'm not going to see President Obama. I'm going to see a man about Danielle.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone might have missed that. That was my 7 point right there. I'm not going to see the president. I'm going to tell him about somebody. He is nobody. That Jesus we serve is everybody.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. Doc. I bless you, Doc. You encourage me. You encourage me. What school did you go to? You said you go to
Delta College.
What's the name of your college?
Junior College.
Junior College.
Okay, okay. It's a Baptist school, isn't it? I heard you say BSU. That's Baptist Student Union?
Yeah, that's the Black Student Union. I was the president for almost 2 years, and something happened between me and the vice president after my baby sister died, and he wanted to fight me. And the only thing I did was step back in a posture just in case he swung. He just wasn't going to, you know, get a whole lot of blows. I put up a defensive posture. That's all I did. And because of that, my board members said I was in the wrong, so I resigned. I stepped down. Nobody did. God told me just go on and leave because he knew he had that position on the ASBG for me.
Yeah, he knew what he had for you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is truly, truly a testimony that has encouraged me for schooling. For schooling.
Okay.
Next semester, you're going down, but I'm going up. I'm going ahead and take a full slate with 15 credits next semester. That's good news to know that still with 15, you still can get a 4.0.
Yes, sir.
God can make a way. In your story reminded me so much of my mother. I'm sure she doesn't mind. She should have called in. I wouldn't have to say it. She could have said it for herself. But during last year, no, that was 2011 November. What's that? Yeah, 2011 November. She lost her boyfriend. He was killed. He was murdered. She lost another. We had three deaths back to back to back in our circle, our close circle. And my mom was in school. And her boyfriend really took a toll on her life. It took her down, Doc. It took her all the way down, you know, where she's still not even all the way back to her normal self still to this day. You know, death is a hard process.
Oh.
But I remember going down and visiting my mom, and she was coming off her laptop in her room, and she just cried. And I'm not knowing, you know, what was the emotions going on at the time. And she said, Tim, through all the hell that I've been through everything that I have been through, I still have a 4.0. As I listened to your testimony and heard how death was attacking you and how, you know, how life was taking its course and God was pressing you and pushing you to greater, all I can hear is my mom and see her crying.
Yeah.
And saying, Tim, okay. I still got my 4.0. And all words all she was saying was, Tim, I still got my joy because I still was like, Tim. And through your whole testimony, I heard you say, you know, you were having problems, you was missing days, but I never heard you say I was out, I was down and out. You never went down and out, and that's that Jesus that's up in that sky, up above my head. I hear music in the air.
Yes,
sir. That's a beautiful testimony. And keep going, Doc. Keep going. And pastors, there's churches open all over the world. God has a house with your name on it, Doc. God has a house. Me, I'm very young. I've only been preaching for a year and a half. A lot of people try to talk me into, you know, you're ready to pastor. Nah. I'm young. I'm very young, very new. And I want to get educated. And I want to know the right way to do it and make sure I'm teaching the right way. But Doc, go start filling out applications. Go start applying for places. Go for it. Go for it. Don't wait. Last week here in Nashville, Tennessee, three major churches had deaths of pastors.
Wow.
Churches are open. Pastors all over the country are dying that had mega churches all over the country. God has a plan for you. In Washington, D.C., in fighting for, what's her name one more time?
Danielle.
Fighting for Danielle is not the only soul, Doc. That's just the first one. Danielle is like our President Obama to us. You know, he's just an image to the black people. He's just an image. Danielle's just an image of what God got for you. Your prison ministry is going to be your strongest ministry because that's the one you started first. That's the one you started first.
Yes, sir.
It's your strongest ministry, Doc. You got it, Doc. I knew it last time I spoke to you that you got it, but you confirmed it this time. You got it, Doc. You went to school, and you said, I'm waiting on God to elevate me to a pastor. You are a pastor. You are a pastor.
The way church is looking, they're not looking for a preacher to turn into a pastor. They're looking for a pastor to be a pastor. You are a pastor.
Right.
So I'm telling you, he is a pastor. You had it right. Pastor Munch. Bless God. It has been wonderful to hear from you. I'm not sure we have any other callers on the line. If you can check the board for us, if there's any other callers who would like to say something, I don't want to give anyone.
I don't want to miss anyone.
Well, Brother Mike, I'm Billy.
Yes, I'm here. I'm just so thankful and so, you know, blessing God for Brother Mike and for you. And I forgot that he was on the call when you gave your testimony before. But just an awesome man of God, don't you think so, Brother Mike?
Oh yes, definitely.
He's up and coming in the Lord. In the Lord. I just thank God for it. There are no other callers. There are no other callers, but if you want to, we have some people on chat, and I have on, you know, on our family, Uzu, I think it is.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
We have Ms. Pumpkin. Who is that?
Miss Pumpkin, that sounds like Lauren Hamilton. That sounds like my sister.
That sounds like Lauren. Okay, well, she's not responding to me. She's still on, but did you tell her you were going to be on today?
Actually, I did not talk to her, but I sent the email out, so she might have got a copy of the email. Miss Pumpkin, that sounds like Lauren. Grandpa Lee gave that name, Pumpkin.
Okay. She's not responding, but she might be on, so you want to give a shout out to her and your grandma. She's probably on.
Yes, all my beautiful family in Kansas City. I do not want to call any names. I haven't spoke to you guys in a couple weeks, but I am doing fine, and I love you guys. And call me; my phone is back on.
Well, we thank God. We thank God, and it's up to you. We have a couple of people that are in the chat room, but I'm not familiar with how it works. I was able to figure out how to chat with them. Let me see if they have a testimony. But I'm just thanking the Lord, Tim, for you for hosting today. And There are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. And even though we weren't able to go on our trip, I didn't let you know that we weren't, because I wanted you to still do the broadcast today. And I want to give you an open invitation to host for us from time to time, because you are truly an inspiration, and your testimony is so awesome. I'm sure that there in your school that you have classmates that have awesome testimonies, and once they know that you're on, we're here for just that purpose, for people to come on and give the testimonies, because God is still doing great things in our lives. He's still doing great things. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still raising up. He's still encouraging. We have had some awesome testimonies over the, I guess it's about 7 or 8 months. I'm not even sure when we started. I have to look that up. But we have had some awesome testimonies, and your testimony has been one of the highlights of the show. I just want you to know that, God brought you from a place that some have never returned from. Some young people that kicked out of school, was able to get in school, God had favor on you. Just an awesome, 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 awesome God we serve. Just an awesome God. So we have about 3 minutes left, and we can continue on, or it's up to you what you want to do. Let me look and see if we have any testimonies on the email address, and I'm going to open up to your uncle so that he can say something to you while I'm looking for the looking at that email. Honey, are you there? Honey? I can hear. Honey? Honey, are you there?
I think I hear him, but he's very low.
He can hear you. You're on. Okay, you can talk. I'm calling you out.
Good morning,
Uncle Al.
It's such a blessing to hear you this morning.
Happy holidays again. God bless you. How have you been?
See, we're getting a back. It's a lag in it because of you guys have it on speaker. Hey, Beth. No, honey. Well, I don't know what's happening.
Good morning. Okay. I think we got all our technicalities taken care of now, and I'm just glad to hear from you again. My nephew, who I love and just enjoy listening to you testify of God's goodness and just sharing how good God is and how he's just been a blessing in your life, which is a blessing to the world. I was thinking about some not too long ago, just about, this is kind of off the subject, but I was thinking about a baby dedication. And how that when a child is born into the world, that the world actually at that point becomes a different world. It changes. And when Timothy Hayes was born, there was a change to this world. And now we are just seeing how blessed, what a blessed change that was, because of what God is doing in your life. And we just encourage you in the ministry. We just pray for your strength and continuance. And I know sometimes it's a struggle in a lot of different ways, financially. Sometimes it probably gets a little lonely, but persevere, keep the faith. Go on, and we just love you, and anything that we can ever do to support you, you know we're here. You know your aunt and uncle are here, and we just thank you for being a part of this broadcast and changing this world with your testimony.
God bless you, Uncle Al. God bless you. I thank you. When people ask me all the time, is your dad your preacher? You have anybody preacher? I said, it's just me and my Uncle Al. Me and my Uncle Al.
All right.
You come from a long line of preachers.
Oh yeah, great grandpa was too.
Yeah,
on both sides of your family.
And grandma was supposed to be giving me the history of the church in St. Paul, Minnesota, the First Baptist Church that grandpa started. And I would love to see that. I've seen pictures of it. I would love to get the history. She's supposed to be digging it out for me, your sister there. Well,
okay.
Then your great grandmother.
She didn't preach in the pulpit, but she preached all the time. preached all the time. And I know you know that.
Oh, yeah. And we know Grandma Burns. Roll it. I have some of her books I use to write my sermons.
Oh, yeah.
I use Grandma Burns' commentary. She was a scholar.
Amen.
She's a doctor. Amen. Dr. Burns.
But it's just a blessing to hear you and just to know that you're going on and what a blessing it is just to know. And again, I'm serious. The world is being blessed just by God using you and you letting God use you. So keep on keeping on and just we love you.
I surely will. Well, my day is stacked. I missed my prayer breakfast this morning for the call, but I have an ordination to attend, and I'm actually walking inside the building now. So I thank you guys for the opportunity, but the learning continues. I have to continue my learning. Our pastor is making it mandatory that we attend this ordination with him so we can know how the process goes when our day comes. So,
all right.
So I'm walking into the place now.
Thank you so much. Okay, listen. Let me, before you hang up, because when you hang up, that will end the call. I just want to say tune in to Evangelist Adrian Bernard, New Destiny Ministry, every day at 3 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and be listening for the announcement for the crusade that we'll be having that Sister Bernard is hosting here in the Carolinas. We'll have that information for you shortly. And we just thank God for you being graciously hosting for us this day. We love you, and we just thank God for you. And you have a blessed day, nephew.
I love you guys, and tell the boys I said hello.
I will. Amen.
I hope you guys,
I'm happy you guys
are safe. By the way, I'm happy you guys made it safely through your accident. That was sad. That was sad news.
Yeah, it was. But God is in control, so we just trust him all the way.
Yes, ma'am. I hope to see you guys on the video chat soon or something.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
I love you guys.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm ready, guys.